What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another special live-ish edition of Whiskey Web and Whatnot with your hosts, Robbie the Wagner and Charles William Carpenter III.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to call me Willie, Big Willie style the rest of the show.
This is Big Willie style.
Okay. The third.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a special guest today, Jack Harrington. How's it going, Jack?
It's great. Yeah, enjoying the whiskey. Nice. This is new for me.
Yeah.
I'm not really a whiskey fan, so it's
We're hoping to change that.
Yeah.
Or
at least make you open to it.
Yeah.
The secret is to just make it all up. You smell it and you're like, oh, you know, arbitrary shit like
This smells
tastes like new shoes.
Okay. Okay.
Like,
all right.
Yeah.
What was the other one I had? Was Old Medley?
Yes.
You
tried an Old Medley 12.
Kind of whiskey name. Yeah. Old Medley.
Can't be just Medley. It's the old one.
Right. We'll get the young exactly. You wouldn't want the new one.
No.
Yeah, you want the...
It's got to sit in barrels for a while.
Yeah, right.
That would be gross.
Yeah. I'm already getting ahead of myself, though. I forgot to let you introduce yourself and say who you are and what you do. So let's do that.
So I'm a principal full-stack engineer, and I also am a YouTuber, and my channel is called The Blue Collar Coder. And I do mostly React, Next.js stuff, but really full-stack. Yeah, it's been really fun.
Cool. So Rust, otherwise?
Actually... Funny you say that. Actually, I'm going to do a Rust video coming up pretty soon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
See, I think we did a Rust video a couple weeks ago. So, yeah.
Mm. Nice.
Change it up. You know, try different things.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Rust's cool now. So.
Exactly. Very. Yeah. Prime. You heard of Primogen?
Oh, yeah.
He's been on. Okay. So, yeah. He's making Rust cool.
Yeah. I mean, after that milk video, but we'll get into that.
Oh, Lord. With the milk. I don't even understand.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into that.
I don't think anyone does it. For that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, so let's get into my whiskey. Today, folks, we have the barrel. Yes, I know we've done a lot of barrels, but this one's interesting. Barrels with two L's, and that's the name of the distillery. It's one of their private releases. It is finished in an Amaro cask of other words that I can't read or say. Mm. It's 124.16 proof, so it's a hot one.
Ooh,
coming in hot. They're not age stated, but that's because they do a blend anyway. That's kind of their thing. It does say that it is a blend of both Kentucky and Indiana whiskeys. So that means some sourced MGP stuff. But without further ado, let's get to it.
Okay.
I'm going to do the pop sound because it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
That's we can't do the pour because it's not our whiskey.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are currently located in a whiskey private club whiskey library.
Oh,
because that's some fancy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's that.
So Jack likes it.
Yeah, he loves it.
Jack's a whiskey man now.
Oh, Lord. That burns
smells
going down.
Smells like dragon fruit candy to me.
Oh, I don't even know.
Is 124, how does that rate?
A little high.
Yeah, that's hot.
High?
That would be
like
hot.
Yeah,
okay. Pretty high.
Okay. Yeah, that's like a lot of, the angel took a lot of the water out.
Yeah.
It feels, actually has a little bit of like, have you ever had chocolate covered cherries? Like that cordial candy dessert thing.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Smells like that a little bit to me. Some of that, like,
mine kind of tastes like scallops. Are you getting that?
Yeah.
It turns out that it smells like fish in this room.
No, I know. I don't smell that anymore.
Close your legs, Robbie.
At all.
God.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, that one, the third try hit a little bit less. So, yeah.
Mm.
Are you guys done with that? I think it's
working
a sipping
on
whiskey for me.
It is. No. It is alcohol-y.
It is. There's a lot of burn there, but I am really getting like a deep kind of cordially, like sweetness. Quite a bit of sweetness.
Yeah. It's like a syrupy sweet candy with like rubbing alcohol mixed in.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a guaranteed heartburn later. But
yeah, this is.
It's a small amount here we have to sample, but I am going to still try and sample it both ways. So I'm going to have it first up as distiller intended. And then we'll probably for another drink, I'll add a couple drops of water.
Mm.
That can open it up.
Make it a little less intense.
Yeah, I was noticing you swirling it.
Yeah,
it's like
aeration.
Oh, it's like, okay.
I actually just think it's fun. I don't think it does anything for it, really.
I mean, you can't put it through like one of those kind of like things.
Here we go. I'm going to like get the paper so that I can see its color and quality.
How are the legs on this?
Yeah, what are the legs like on it? Looks like really alcohol-y. But I get a lot of sweetness in the front and maybe a tinge of some bitter there from orange rind, citrus rind, something like that.
Arbitrary rind seems to have helped it a little bit.
Yeah, it makes it. All right, Jack. So the way that we do this is we have a very simple rating system. One to eight
very
tentacles.
Complex.
Yeah.
One to eight tentacles.
One to eight tentacles, because that's a whole play on an octopus.
As you do.
One being terrible. I don't want this anymore. Eight being amazing. Please always give me this whiskey or spirit.
Okay.
And four just being like, okay. So I know you said you're not a big whiskey fan.
Sure.
So just in comparison.
Let me emulate a whiskey fan, I guess.
You don't even have to. Like, if it's a one because you just hate this shit, that's totally fine, too. So
that would be nice. Right. You know, I mean,
compare it against like so you prefer other libations, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
So we'll just kind of keep it in the whiskey family of whiskeys you've tried and you've had now.
Of the today. Of the whiskeys I've tried, this is very nice. Yeah.
Right.
So maybe five.
Yeah, I think that's a fair,
better than average.
Yeah. All right. Above average for you. You're probably not reaching for it all the time, but you appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if somebody serviced me like, oh, that's a whiskey.
Yeah.
That's. Nice.
And you'd be like, oh, that's a whiskey that's got, it's a little more diverse.
Which apparently is sacrilege. I would put it on the rock. Is it rock?
That is only me. Well, in this case,
that
it is
a singular
rock.
That is
one rock. So you have a large ice block.
Yeah.
So ice brought in and shaved down
over time,
by your bartender.
It seems to mellow it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree that it does. So five, I think five.
In fact, I'm going to do the sacrilege. I'm actually going to
do it.
Okay.
Were you also saying five? Is that what you're saying?
I am not. I'm going to pass it to you because I'm doing lots of talking.
Yeah, so we love this brand usually. This one, I don't hate it, but it's not like this is one of the lower ones, I feel like, of the ones I've had of theirs. So,
so it's like a boutique brand?
Yeah, so they, I don't know, they do interesting, like the name is Barrel, and they do a lot of interesting barrels. Like they'll put it in like a Cabernet cask and like different stuff.
So,
so this one's a little bit less interesting to me. There's not as many different flavors. So I'm going to say four.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay.
So there's some wine connection. They can use...
Used barrels just as a finishing process. So it's common for distilleries to do that just to like change a flavor profile it's not always a blend. And they're doing a blend here to just get to a particular flavor profile that they think will mature well in this finishing process.
I see.
I mean, it's like usually no longer than 6 months, can be like a month, usually up to about 6 months, but nothing crazy. This one does have a lot of that in it. So I would think they probably went pretty far with this particular Amaro. The thing about Amaros, too, is that they can be all kinds of stuff. Like Limoncello's Amaro, Fernet Branca Amaro, like there's, and everything in between there. So this seems to like askew to the sweeter side of that. So for those reasons, I kind of agree with Robbie, but I was actually going to side with you in terms of the, for the same rating. It's above average for me.
Okay.
I think they do good stuff. That's interesting, but I think they're like too much sweetness, a little overpowering for the sweetness. And these things are usually at least $100 a bottle.
Whoa.
And can go up from there. And so, yeah, I don't value for what
you're
getting.
How many pours do I get out of a bottle?
Well, it depends on who's pouring it, right?
Okay.
Yeah, you can get a lot.
How many ounces we got here?
750 milliliters is a normal.
It's 25 ounces.
25 so that's ounces. Like 20. 2 ounce pour. You can talk in 12 pours, 12 and a half pours. So,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean,
yeah, not terrible for that.
Terrible.
If you, so this is like probably 2 or 3 days for me worth of whiskey.
Did you say 2 or 3 days?
2 or 3 days? That's probably.
No,
I'm just
dang.
Like 2 or 3 bottles of this would be 2 or 3 days for you.
okay, there we go. Now you're leaning in.
I like that.
So anyway, I'm going five as well, and I'm kind of personally just comparing it to the other barrels that we've had, and certainly been some better. There's probably been one that was like, oh, this isn't great.
That's why I did four, is because
what's the eight? What's the octo?
Gosh.
Old Forester Prohibition one.
The 1920. That's a high one for me. Yeah, I
and
do like
our barrel pick because we have good taste. We feel like
okay. So we did a barrel pick from a distillery out of actually Balmore.
What does that mean?
So
you actually like get it out right out of the barrel?
Well, they sent samples and then you choose out of that. Mm-hmm. You can. There are places where you can go there.
Yeah, yeah.
And
then like wineries you can go. And
yeah, same thing.
Plunk, there you go.
Yep, yeah. They have the whiskey thief is what they call it. Yeah, it's a little copper thing and. And then you try a bunch of them and you decide which one you want. And then you buy the whole barrel, but then they don't ship you a barrel. They actually bottle it.
That would be logistically a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's like buying a half a cow.
Yeah, basically.
They actually, you know,
yeah, they're going to
just cut it in half and mail it.
Right.
Yeah. They put it on ice.
Yeah,
come on.
They're not,
they're not barbarians. We're wasting that. So, so I went five. Anyway.
Not bad by any means. Just segmenting with barrel, it was not as good as the others, but great.
Okay.
So should we turn up the heat
with some hot takes?
Hot takes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Takes.
So
I just made that up.
Yeah. You want to start or you want me to start?
124
proof.
You start.
Okay. In TypeScript, inferred types or explicit types?
Oh, explicit. No, actually, inferred types.
Okay, are you sure?
Yeah.
No, final answer?
Well, I mean, you hit me out. Yeah, okay. But yeah, I mean, I don't really like to overdo it. I mean, if it can be inferred, sure, go for it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
trust the folks who work around you. I think sometimes. I mean, libraries and things like that.
I mean, I actually do a lot of template types.
All righty, here's one for you: Tailwind CSS or vanilla CSS?
Tailwind.
There we go. Okay. Yeah.
Although, big fan of Panda.
I've not heard of Panda.
Wow!
I thought that was those little chocolate like Asian cookies. Those are good.
No, I'm doing a video on Panda on Friday, and it's a CSS and JS solution that has all of the Tailwind shorthands in it. It's really nice, and it works with RSCs, the app router, all of that stuff, so you don't get that sort of issue. But they also have this ability to define atomic CSS types. Like, you can literally just kind of like create this generic version of button, right? It's rounded, it's this, it's that. You can make it solid, you can make it outline, whatever. And you can use those in whatever. You could use it in Svelte, you can use it in React. And so when you think about these companies that are like the big Nikes of the world or whatever, Walmarts, and they've got like this team wants to be on Svelte and that team wants to be on React. And the problem was like, okay, well, they're all going to need to create their own like components and everything. This really helps out with that because you basically create the one sort of atomic set, and then each of those teams can kind of skin those with whatever the local native like button is or whatever it is. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Actually, I'm really blown away by Panda.
Huh. Yeah, we'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, hopefully people can argue about it on Twitter soon.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. I'm sure they will. I mean, that's definitely, I guess, the big things about like Next.js and RSCs. It's like state management and CSS. Those are the two, like, they kind of flip the apple cart on that. And people are trying to figure out, like, where everything landed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Git rebase or git merge?
Merge. I know that's not a popular opinion.
Well, it's been kind of 50-50 on the people we've asked. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Surprisingly. All right. But yeah, I guess people that merge aren't as loud on Twitter, maybe.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I think the people that rebase are the people that really get into Git and really understand the ref logs and all that sort of stuff. I'm one of those people that, like, if my Git repo gets just really hairy and I'm like X number of revisions ahead and this and that and the other thing, and I can't seem to rebase at all, I just basically just create a new directory, copy all it over, and whatever.
Yeah, you can say sure.
Yeah, what's the delta here? Let's go.
Yeah, like, makes sense. Yeah.
I got put through the ringers by seniors years ago to
really learn Git.
Yeah. Do the rebase
thing. How long did
that
last?
How long did I have to do the
right shit? No, you really understand Git. Because, I mean, if you don't, like, really, I think you definitely really use it every day. It's like, okay, that knowledge loses its
impact. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I could think, yeah, that's true. I think I just got into a habit, and now it's just patterns. You know, I don't have to think it anymore. Yeah. It probably took, you know, a couple of months to really deep dive and do the right thing. And that was like back in the day where mentors weren't necessarily like pairing with you and leading you down. They're like, go read the fucking manual and come back and do this right. Rejected. You know, you get that kind of stuff.
I'm actually, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was giving a talk at OSU, so Oregon State. And there on the sign, there's a sign on the wall that said, if you get stuck, don't immediately go find somebody and get help immediately. And I'm like, that's not great.
Right.
Because you don't give yourself, we are problem solvers.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we do. We constantly run into, you know, it's like the Martian. Like, he says, like, when he gets back, he's like, what we do is we solve enough problems and eventually you get home, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we solve problems. And if you give somebody else your problem to solve, they're becoming a better engineer while you are not.
Right? I would agree with that.
Yeah. So give yourself like 10 to 15 minutes, try and figure it out. If that doesn't work, hit up ChatGPT, you know, and if that doesn't work, then, you know, go to the appropriate, try and find the appropriate forum.
I do think that that's like,
and then read the rules and then post.
So I do it wrong. Like,
okay. How do you do it?
I ask first because I know it'll take a while to get an answer from people. Mm. So then I'm like, hey, help me.
Oh,
and
I
then
see.
I go try to figure it out, knowing that they'll help me if
come
I need
back
it
and
later.
Say, oh, I already figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's that, I love that.
I just have to know sarcasm there. Yeah. No, I do think that like that's a maturity in your career in like, I don't know a lot of things, but I do have a lot of confidence in myself to be able to like find answers or find a path.
Right.
And then if I need like nuance or to get like really zoned in and I find an expert and like that kind of thing, sure.
Yeah.
But I think in general, like, that's kind of maturity. That maybe is the definition of senior in some ways. Of
definitely.
Like, you know, yeah, knowing how to like ask the right questions and go down the right paths to find.
Right. The information. I mean, the definition, one of the definitions of senior to me is, can I put you on call?
Right.
Right. And the person that is on call, they get up at 2 a.m. They have to have some semblance of like not just calling everybody. Yeah. At 2 a.m. No, be no. like, hey, yeah. you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, actually try and get in there and figure out, like, oh, the disk is full over here, you know, whatever.
So, serious question, though.
Okay.
I mean, what do you think about... No. What do you think about milk?
Oh, Lord. I like milk. I mean, I'm a baker, so... Yeah. And you know, I love, like, heavy cream. I'm a fan. So, I don't know what Adam.dev is on about and you know, Primogen and all that. Like, I just sort of sidestepped that whole thing.
Right, yeah. Right.
I don't know. My Twitter game is terrible.
Yeah. No, I'm not agreeing with you about you.
No, please.
I'm not
sure.
I don't know. I don't mind at all. I actually like to, like, kind of be a little more on the sidelines and taking it in, and then I'll drop some little nuggets here and there.
Yeah.
Oop. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know really how to use it. Like, a lot of folks use it as just like, hey, this is what I'm doing today. You know, like, okay, I'm cooking ribs, you know, or whatever. And you're like, oh, okay.
Don't you want to know, you know, what Jason's cooking? I mean, how else are you going to know?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. No. 124 proof. That's all I got to say.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, definitely. It's only been like 2.5 ounces of this.
Listener, just so you know, we do have a live audience.
Yes.
Today for the show. So
you'll see them on subsequent episodes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You may see them later.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're also known as.
You know, yeah. Do a bunch of them.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good idea, though.
Yeah.
And
it's
a great place. I mean.
Yeah. We love this place.
big fan. Yeah.
Big fan of the massive library. Of scotches?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of scotch. Like,
brown juice. A lot of brown juice out there.
Yeah. So, like, again, complete novice on this. So, there's whiskey, and then scotch is a varietal of whiskey?
Well, yeah. You take the E out of whiskey when
so
it's scotch style.
There's a saying in Kentucky, and it's all bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. I know more now.
Baby steps.
Yeah. All right, yep. I'm going to skip this one. What is your least favorite programming language?
Oh, TCL.
Okay, I don't even know what that is. You know what that is?
No.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible language.
Is it worse than Cold Fusion?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, okay. So, no, Lord, no. I mean, it is terrible. So, it was paired with a thing called TK. So, it's TCL /TK. TK is this really nice kind of portable windowing system. They wrapped it in Perl and PHP and whatever, a whole bunch of stuff. Because it was nice, right? It was like cross-platform widgets, had a nice like layout system, all that sort of stuff. But it also was natively sort of connected with this TCL language, which is absolutely abysmal, worst language I've ever seen. And if you wanted to return a value from a function, what you'd do is you'd say upvar.
Okay.
And then you give the name of the variable in the parent function that called you. And the value that was supposed to get set to.
Okay.
That is deeply atrocious.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, imagine like you change the variable name in a parent function, just like, just we're factoring a little bit, whatever. And it's like, no, you actually have to like go change it in the function that you called. Because that calling function is actually going to go and like just jump back up the stack and set your locals.
Wow.
That doesn't seem so good.
No.
Yeah, that's not good.
Like a nightmare to debug.
It isn't
Yeah.
Right. It's a nightmare of a language. So, no, that would be the worst thing. APL is a close second. Okay. So, again, probably guys don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not familiar with that one.
No. Exactly. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
All righty. And this is almost a hot take.
What's your worst language?
Mine's what?
What's yours?
I hated Cold Fusion.
I had to do that for a while.
That was like really bad. And then trying to do internationalization in Cold Fusion was a lot of repeat yourself. Not that fun.
I just think XML banks languages of any varietal.
Yeah, right. I did not enjoy
XSLT.
PHP very much, but really? I was also doing it in the Wild West world.
How do you like RCs?
Let me get to my next question here. PHP and the Wild West of WordPress.
A lot of people make a lot of money off that.
I know, it still powers the internet. Mm-hmm. Being honest,
like half the internet.
Heck yeah.
Exactly. So yeah. So speaking of RSCs, did RSCs turn React into PHP?
No, not at all. I mean, it looks fairly similar, but when you actually think about what actually happened with Pages router to App router, like they just basically moved around and get server side props. I mean, there is some, like, there's now suspenses and things like that that can make things a little bit weirder, and you can have multiple components maybe, you know, streaming simultaneously, but yeah, no, it's not PHP. I mean, I actually did a kind of rough comparison between the two.
Yeah.
And I mean, PHP is faster.
So then that begs the question.
It's so much better.
Yeah. Doesn't that beg the question of what's the point of this shit then?
Yeah, it's a question that a lot of people are asking, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I think HTMX is something that people are looking at. Like, why? Maybe this does make sense. Right? I mean, I was reading the HTMX book today. They actually have a full book on this now.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Actually. Yeah, yeah.
Did you buy it?
I bought it, yeah. It was the hardcover was $50.
$55. Right. I was like, huh.
But the Kindle was $9.99. So,
oh, okay. Yeah, there we go.
Right? And one of the things they cited was JS fatigue. And I definitely feel that. Like, it gets really complex, you know? And yeah. I think, like, there's some alternatives in that space. There's Deno Fresh, which is a little easier.
Yeah, that's nice.
There's Quick, which... I think is
Quick, like that, because the W, you know, I like
Quick.
To
go Quick.
Quick. Quick.
Okay.
Like that.
Sure.
Anyway, I don't know. I think that's how they intended it. Yeah.
If it's Quick.
just that I got you to say that, I feel like I won.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That is, I mean, I suppose, like, trying to be kind of more simplistic and get out of that cycle. But yeah, I mean, I think it is kind of a little bit too complicated. Like, I mean, you know, I just said, oh, wow, this is great, this Panda CSS thing. But when you step back and look at it, you're like, whoa, we got this JS, it's turning into CSS, and then it's going and getting pre-compiled during the build. And you're like, well, it's a lot of that. This is a lot of complexity.
Yeah, yeah, you used to be able to just write HTML and JavaScript and CSS and files.
Right.
And load them, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. What's my deploy process?
Yeah.
Untar.
Yeah.
You know, like change the symbolic link on the directory. Boom. Yeah. You're deployed.
Much too easy. We need more tools.
And that's it.
Let's go complicate this.
We've all become like so emotionally attached to our tools in a way, right? Like, I'm an expert at this. If all of a sudden my tool isn't necessary, or if I at least have to ask the question, then you start to become a little defensive or whatever else. Like, because I've gone down this path so far and. Right.
So if I let go of that, because I don't feel that way at all.
No, no. I think. Oh well, I think some people do. Yeah, no.
Collectively,
I think it was more of a collective.
Phase. I think it's a phase of engineering development. Like, the computer's kicking your butt. You're like, oh man, I'm never doing anything I like. You know, I'm getting these bugs. They're terrible. Blah blah. And then you finally conquer it. You learn some system that works for you.
Yeah.
And you feel really good, and everything's going fine. And then somebody's like, well, that sucks. We should do this. And you're like, no, right.
Well, the approach
I don't
want
to do that because because the computer is finally not kicking my butt.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And why then start over? While,
well, yeah.
Yeah.
And unless the entire industry moves on and you're like, okay.
Well, I'm irrelevant now. I'm writing Cold Fusion, you know. Yeah.
Well, actually, if you're in Europe, Cold Fusion is actually still a pretty good apparently.
My Cold Fusion? No, I don't think you ever read any of mine. But
oh, no. I'm saying like as a technology. Like,
I mean.
It's good over there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Laravel, PHP.
Yeah, I hear great things about Laravel or Laravel or whatever it is.
Laravel?
I don't know. I think if you're in Laravel, you say Laravel.
Laravel.
Yeah, but I've heard great things. The tools have improved. I think, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't try and fix it to a degree. If your things are working with the tools that continue to innovate, and they're very smart tools. I mean, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. They're well thought out and everything else. But is it necessary? I think like asking the question of, to put up your marketing site, is it necessary? That's why I like things like Astro and because it's like HTML was pretty good. So let's like start at the simplest terms and then build up as we need.
And I think Astro is trying to do that, but still be in that node world where like your HTMXs are saying, well, use Rust or use Go or use PHP.
Right.
And then you add a few of these little declarative tags on there or attributes and you have a little 34K package of JavaScript that basically just, you know, you can do 90% of what you can do in a React app. And the question is, do you need it?
Yeah. Like, is it good enough?
You know? Yeah, it might be good enough. Yeah.
I think it's a reasonable question.
Yeah. It depends. It depends. The answer.
I love it depends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you are scared of that change, then that looks like, oh, I'm going to lose all my, I spent so many years learning useEffect.
I never started learning that.
Which is bad, or it's just used wrong, or I don't know. There's a lot of different things there.
I misunderstood, because I think a lot of folks went from like class components, you know, which had a very clean life cycle.
Yeah, component life cycle methods made sense.
It just said what it did.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then they're like, oh, well, you can use functions and render. Yeah, okay, but cool. And then we got into functions, and it was kind of like leading you a little bit, because they're like, oh, well, now can functions couldn't have state, but now they can.
Right.
And then now we got these hooks.
Yeah.
Right. And if you had this dot state, well, you use state. And if you had a component did mount, well, you use use effect. Well, that's actually the wrong way of thinking about it. Yeah. It's actually like an entire reactive state management system. It's way more powerful than this dot state, except that like people don't look at it that way. Like, you know, because there's a dependency arrays and everything else. And
yeah.
Yeah. So you got to get your head into that space, and then you can actually do it.
I blame Thunk and Sagos for putting us down this path. Those jerks.
Yeah. What the heck?
What
is that?
The hell was that?
You know? I don't know. Sagos. I don't even get me started. But Thunks. Yeah. Like, I mean, I have you ever do any? Didn't you Win32 programming?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. So Win32 had this thunking layer to get to, or Win16 had a thunking layer to get to Win32, and then, you know, so I did that for a bunch of years, and I came back, and, you know, then Redux turns around, they're like, well, now we're doing thunking again. I'm like, are you kidding me?
You were like, I can't like, escape
it's in JavaScript.
You.
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I think just people, really smart people are like, they're solving crazy problems over here, and they take those mental models and those paradigms, and they're applying it upstream.
Right, right. You know? I mean, I think Elm was the original progenitor of Redux, and it looks really good, actually. If you do the Redux stuff in Elm, looks really great. But if you do it in React, it looks like a lot of boilerplate.
Because it was never intended to be there, right?
Like the other thing is right. And then
reactive rendering layer, you know?
Yeah. And if you got a state management system in JavaScript, an inherently asynchronous system, single threaded but asynchronous, right? We do everything we do is asynchronous. Click buttons, make fetches. It's all asynchronous. You create a state manager that doesn't have any default asynchronous behavior built into it. Like, what's that? Yeah. That's craziness. Like, you have to bring in an extra library to make it asynchronous. Like, of course. Like, duh. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of been the React way, is bring another library.
Oh,
yeah. Well, you've got 6 or 7 different options for that. Yeah. So you better, like, choose your own adventure the whole way. And then hopefully it's not the ugliest Lego wall in the end. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know much about React, so it's kind of all about there. Yeah, I'm still an Ember user. So.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
The hamster.
Yep.
Yeah. I now know this.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I mean, he probably could have come around during class components time. He would have been like, oh, well, this isn't so bad.
I liked it during that.
Once hooks came in and he was like, oh, dog shit.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You and a lot of other folks.
Yeah. I certainly struggled with it for a bit. I was just like, why are we doing this?
Did he get that mental shift, though, of going into like the
I did get there.
Space?
You
have to.
I think I went through a lot of those crazy paths where you were, you know, picking different state management things and routers and all of that kind of stuff.
Once Next.js came
to prevalence, it was like, well, I've got guardrails now. At least I can make sense of this. Like, there are. I thought so. I mean, and I like the pages router.
App it's not, router it's
bullshit
routers.
Now. Like, what? I love this. This is one of the reasons why I said this is okay for me.
Yeah.
And now you're like taking them away. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to play with other toys.
I think Tanner Lindsley mentioned that this might have been the Angular 2 moment of React. And I think that's potentially fair in that. If you have to throw away your design system and you've got to throw away your state manager and you got to like basically rewrite all your code, like, I mean, that's a heavy lift.
That's a gamble, really. But it must be advantageous for them in some way monetarily. I was like,
who?
For Vercel.
Oh,
to, like, make these big architectural changes or whatever. Who? I don't know. Guillermo, I guess.
Yeah.
Does he make some decisions there?
I think so.
So I think like maybe this is. I mean, things were working really well. Lots of people pay money for Vercel. But also, there's a lot of people like reverse engineering so they can get the secret sauce outside of the Vercel system. And so maybe that, you know, and maybe I'm speculating, but maybe that's some of the reasons why they're like iterating and changing the way things go, because they need to maintain a level of secret sauce because they took a bunch of money. They have a huge valuation. They need to keep people on their platform and not circumventing that, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's valid. It's like any time a device changes sizes or different ports, and you have to buy new quartz.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Keep them guessing.
You have to get a new cover.
Yeah. You have to do new jailbreaks for everything. Right. Like,
do people still do that? Jailbreak their phones?
I don't think so. I used to. I think you can still do it back in the day when
you couldn't actually put apps on it. Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's the whole point of Apple, right? Is that you stay in the ecosystem, and so and it just works all the time. Yeah, otherwise,
how can I play Game Boy games on it if I
buy a Game Boy?
Well, or Nintendo, like, actually puts out the game on iOS.
I'd pay for that.
There we go. They do some things. Anyway.
Mario Kart? Isn't Mario Kart on iOS?
Oh, they do. They do have something Mario. Yeah. I remember seeing
Mario racing game of some variety. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think along these similar lines of just talking about, you know, pontificating on the direction of the web and all this.
Yes.
The promise of web components and like WASM, WebAssembly. Like,
yeah.
Is that really going to when is that going to come
WebAssembly,
to fruition?
I think it's for real. Yeah, like,
right. But it's been for real, I feel like, for 5 years, give or take.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're coming. They're coming. And here are some libraries that are going to like
Linux
fake them.
Inside of a WASM container.
Right.
On, you know, and actually run Next faster inside your browser than on, because you're using a memcache essentially for the file system, than you can on your disk. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. But again, when is it gonna come to fruition? And
what does fruition mean? That's pretty fruition-y to me.
Sure.
Like mass adoption.
Adoption, that's to me, would be like we're still talking about React server components and and router component. Everything's a fucking component, but actually, like, you know, components because they're nested, and I don't know. Anyway, so instead, blow away all those paradigms and actually like think about how we make the web moving forward.
That's a good question. I mean, I think the argument that the HTMX folks are making is the way forward is to go essentially back to the way we were, basically, kind of actually use the browser as the platform is intended. Part of what they're trying to do with React is make up for variances in the browsers and the browsers not being as performant as we would have liked and all that kind of VDOM and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But now the browsers rock, you know, and you can do all this amazing stuff like view transitions. They are very powerful, and we don't really use them as much as we could because we're sitting on top of this abstraction layer that's on top of the browser, and the browser's its own abstraction layer and all sort of nested dolls sort of thing. Why don't we just use more of the browser?
Yeah. We should. There's a lot of stuff that people don't leverage that exists.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole form validation system baked right into the browser.
Yeah.
Nobody uses it.
But it doesn't look the way the designer wanted you to do it.
I think it can look any way you want it. But
well, true. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's like we've spent so much time rebuilding stuff just because doesn't look exactly the way we want it. I've been arguing about this at work of like, we should use native date pickers.
Yeah.
I don't care how you want it to look. Let's use a native one.
Yeah.
Because it just works everywhere.
He's like, nah.
Oh, you don't believe in that?
Oh, no, I do believe in that heavily, actually. I'm just thinking about some nightmares throughout my career that I've had in making these, you know, trade-offs for visual subjectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, the big one has been like drop downs. Like how many billions of different ways have we had to over engineer drop downs because the design and, you know, UI UX teams are like, we don't want it to look like
it
that.
It should be slightly and you're more like, mauve.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How much money is mauve, right? I mean, slightly more mauve.
Yeah.
And now we've got, like, there's a whole proposal on drop downs, actually. Like, they actually, you can create a skinnable dropdown natively in the browser, which is, and they've got like cool circular dropdowns and all that. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah. Popover API. That's a cool thing.
But of course, if you sit on top of the abstraction layer, you don't get any of that.
So, right.
Yeah.
So like trust the browser to do good stuff. And like,
right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just happy we have evergreen browsers.
Like, yeah.
No more time with Internet Explorer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's Edge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is actually not bad.
Yeah. Microsoft's taking over the world.
Okay.
They are.
Slowly but surely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They just buy all of our tools
and
make it work.
Well, apparently Apple might buy Disney, so, you know, whatever.
Huh.
Yeah. Odd.
Well, there's
combo there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, gosh. That's so funny. Well, I used to work for National Geographic, and so that's like a hell of a ride for them to come around full circle.
Wait, is National Geographic Disney or something?
They are Disney now.
Wait, what the who?
So National Geographic has this tie with Apple too, like where they're always a part of their major product launches. So like we used to pseudo get to know a few things. About like some of the first apps to release for the iPhone originally was National Geographic, and they partnered with us on a few different things. And then National Geographic got blown up. All the for-profit. So it used to be a not-for-profit. So you had the society doing all the adventure stuff. Right. And then you had like the magazine, the channel, and like media things that were allowed to be for-profit and then feed into the nonprofit. But basically, the magazine was profitable, but not that great. And then the channel made all the money. And the channel was partially owned by Fox. So then Fox wanted everything. So 21st Century Fox got National Geographic Partners. And then the society broke off and they were just like, good in perpetuity, though, because they were like losing money and they didn't know if they were going to be a business. And then a few years later, Disney bought National Geographic. So that was like part of some deal with Murdoch's.
Nice. I got to say, well, if you ever get a chance, National Geographic actually has like a kind of tour thing where they have speakers go around. And actually right over here at one of Arlene Schnitzer Hall, my wife and daughter and I would go every month to go see a different speaker. They were fascinating.
Yeah, they're really amazing. Explorers are super cool.
Yeah.
I used to live in DC and I worked there for a while. So, you know, I'd head down and see all kinds of different explorers speak. And
Just amazingly cool people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
just rocked up, went to Antarctica for, you know.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, whatever.
NBD. I was just like hanging out with some penguins.
My camera is freezing all the time. Like, you know.
Sure. Yeah. So I think the real reason we're here is we want to hear about the things people have been saying on Nextdoor.
Oh, it gets weirder and weirder every time. And some lady, she says somebody abducted my cat and shaved it, just his belly.
Ooh.
And you're like, okay, all right.
And that's it, end of story.
Spend the time to actually document this shaved cat belly on Nextdoor, and they had kind of conspiracy theorize why this might have happened and stuff. Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. This is important news to me, you know. Like, yeah. So
but you stick around for it.
Well, I mean, I stick around because my daughter's out of the house, so we're starting to like change things up. You know, if you gotta get rid of a carpet or whatever. It's like, you know, you don't want to necessarily take it to the dump. It's nice carpet. So
sure, yeah.
You know, give it for free on Nextdoor. But that's basically the only reason I'm showing up there. Otherwise it's like it is party town.
Yeah,
place.
It is an interesting.
Well, yeah, like party kind of.
Yeah, crazy party. Yeah, it's where people, like everybody used to argue on Facebook, went to Nextdoor to argue about politics and I don't know, whatever thing.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, but then they know each other because they're neighbors. So it's even weirder.
Yes, it's amazing how the knives come out between neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll be like, the guy in the gray Mazda with the license plate, whatever.
And
like, got too close to me at the stop sign.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like,
he cut me off.
Yeah. And it's like, all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you guys are on.
I go look at the crazies every once in a while. Sure. Yeah. You know?
Poke the cage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember when we first moved back to Phoenix and I got on it and it was like, oh, I can get to know some of my neighbors. And I think it was useful for about 2 months. And then I don't know what. Well, I think pandemic happened. And then leaned in hard.
Wow.
And I was like,
pandemic was. Okay. So I'm a moron. So my wife goes out of town and she's like, hey, you should go to the HOA meeting. You know, because that was when she was out of town. I'm like, sure, okay, whatever. So I go to the HOA meeting. I'm bored, whatever. Listen to this and that and the other thing. And they're like, hey, we need a new person on the HOA. And if one of you doesn't sign up, we're going to voluntold you.
Ooh.
So, you know, I
love HOAs.
And then, and they're like, oh, it's only, you know, a couple, like an hour a month. And I'm like, okay, sure. And so I sign up. Eventually, I'm like, during the pandemic, I was the HOA president.
Wow.
And man, people went nuts because they're in their houses, right, all the time, and they want to upgrade their houses and all that. And, you know, you tell them, hey, you know, you can't have an 8-foot high fence just surrounding your house. Like, that's not okay. Like, it's not okay by us, but it's not okay the county, probably the state. And they're like, no, we're gonna sue you. It's like, you can't even, no, you can't even sue me. Like,
you signed into this. You signed up for this
shit.
Exactly.
What is wrong with you? Like, what do you, and then, of course, it was nice to get out of it, but it's amazing how much people, like, are really angry about their HOAs.
And
This is,
I've never
normally heard, just your neighbors.
Yeah, I've never heard any stories where people are like, I love the HOA. They keep every house the same three shades of brown, and it's just, it's wonderful.
I gotta tell you, like, before the pandemic, I don't remember anybody having a run-in with the HOA. It was like, you know, just like, hey, do you want to paint your house? Blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah. You know, it's not a big deal. Yeah. We're just cool.
They had to lean in because they were bored.
Yeah.
They had
nothing else to do.
Do you have any pizza making tips and tricks?
Oh, wow.
I have an uni.
Oh, really?
So I've done some.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, long dough. Rise, yeah, like get the flavor going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like prep the dough like a day ahead. That's real handy. I actually learned this on Twitter. A guy piped up and said he worked at a pizza joint and it looked like your cheese is a little toasted. So, you know, you want to like use a combination of mozzarella and Gouda and eat them. Okay. So we did that the first time. And then my wife went over to a cheesemonger a couple of days ago and she's like, well, can I get Gouda and eat them? And he's like, well, they're the same thing. So like, like okay. But you got to get a good cheese blend. That's handy. Oh, and then when it comes to uni, they have a really nice like cast iron little skillet sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You have
it? I don't have it.
Oh, cool. So what you can do is you can like put onions on there, like when it's heating up, right?
Yeah.
Because they got to get the stone hot and all that. So when it's heating up, you can put that in and you like grill your onions ahead of time, grill your sausage.
That does sound like a good pro tip.
Oh,
I'd be into that.
Yeah,
I do a lot of like. Well, I tried for a while in the pandemic, like everybody else, to like make your own bread and pizza dough and whatever else. Failed miserably.
Really?
But a local pizzeria that we really like, you know, they were trying to keep going like everywhere else.
So they'll sell you dough balls.
They sell you a dough ball.
Exactly.
It's like $3.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then when it's tomato season, I make my own sauce. I can do all the other things.
Oh.
But yeah, no dough.
Did you get whole like dun 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 dun, you know, like flipping the dough thing and all that?
Oh, yeah. So I had to like stretch it out.
That,
yeah, it was all right there. Yeah. It's just the making of the dough. All things, including flour, seem to hate me in my hands. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which kind of flour do you use?
There was a local place actually that would do pizza flour. So I was trying to embrace the local. Yeah.
Oh,
no,
wow.
I didn't get like the stuff from Naples or whatever, like some fancy places do, but
stuff from Naples that like my local Safeway. So.
Well, you get the DAO certification and all that stuff.
Oh no.
The right mozzarella and the right dough and all that kind of shit. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. No, I didn't go that hot. I mean, but there was like double loaf flour at little bags. And yeah, that can be really good too.
All right. Well, I'll keep practicing. I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah. What kind of uni do you have?
The one that you can do both with propane or wood.
Oh, cool.
So
it's probably the same one I do, like the Karoo 16.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
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 So it's good.
It seemed
it's fun.
Like there was definitely like a thing where it's like there was the low end of it and then the high end of it.
Yeah.
And I've always learned that like you want to buy into the low end of the high end as opposed to the high end of the low end.
Right.
Right. And so that seemed like the low end of the high end.
Yeah. Well, my wife got it for me for Father's Day or something.
Nice.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a surprise. But it's kind of,
It
worked out. She's all right.
Yeah.
She listens, and my kids listen sometimes too.
Whoa.
So you can hear daddy's voice in the car. So it makes me seem cool. Actually, they think I am cool because we just started putting YouTube videos up. So the fact that I can go to the TV and search for us and they can see me on the TV, they're like, minds are blown.
I'm actually scared to do that. Yeah.
I don't know. It worked for me. They think I'm cool.
No,
they're
four.
I think it's like almost seven.
It's just weird to see me.
I seek
on
their
the
approval.
TV.
It's
My son doesn't watch any TV because he is 16 months old.
Right.
Oh wow.
So.
Start him young. Congratulations.
Start him young.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, we're actually on purpose, like no TV until he's two.
Oh yeah.
So, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
No, that's reasonable.
So he watched his first show as a treat, and that was it. He got to watch Peppa Pig for 30 minutes.
I've seen some.
Is there a show now on that, or what? What? How?
Yeah,
it was a movie.
Yeah, it's a show.
It's just a TV show.
I mean, I'm not.
Is British
in general, like you kind of age out of these things. I don't really watch like whatever.
You don't watch Peppa Pig. All the time.
My kid was like Blue's Clues.
Oh right, I've seen that too. But yeah, this is probably more.
That's still around.
And they're British.
Blue's Clues are around.
Yes, they've changed the main guy. It's like
that dude like aged out. I'm sure.
Right. Oh yeah. Whatever his name was, I forget.
Right. Steve.
Steve. Yeah.
Steve's
cousin. Yeah. Yes. There we go. See the hive mind. We get there.
Yeah. Baby Einstein, is that still a thing?
I think that was some trippy
stuff.
Yeah.
He'd
like take some acid, watch that.
Yeah.
I don't do that, listener.
Just but you could. Yeah.
You could. Maybe later.
In Portland, mushrooms are legal. So, semi kind of legal.
I
thought everything was kind of legal.
Can you go buy that in the store right now?
There was a store where you could go buy that. That store is no longer operating.
I see. Mm. Well,
but if you got a friend who, you know, can make. Make some mushrooms.
All right.
You're good to go.
Okay. Well, we'll be over at your house later.
I don't make
them. You don't make them?
We'll talk about it on Next Door later.
There you go. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Anybody need a bag of these mushrooms? I know a guy. Yeah. His name's Jack.
Yeah. So if you weren't in tech, what career would you choose?
Oh, wow. I really enjoy woodworking. I know that's so cliche.
I'm not the only carpenter here.
Yeah.
Doo-doo.
Uh-huh. Dun-dun. It's so good to like feel like a thing that you created that's tangible in the world. Like, there's no other sensation like that. And yeah, so that would be really good. I always said like I'm not classically trained in any of this stuff, but I volunteered on an FRC team, which is a robotics team. And they have mechanical, like, so when you make a robot, right, you got it's hardware. There's some wiring and all that.
Yeah.
There's software, gotta make a move. And then there's mechanical. And I really enjoy the mechanical part of it, like figuring out like how to make the trebuchet go and all that sort of thing. And so if I had it all to do over again, mechanical engineering, that kind of being able to
make things
work
like that
physically in the world, I think is really cool.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's really neat and kind of impressive. So.
Yeah, I think anything where you can work with your hands and not look at a computer all day sounds very appealing to me.
Yeah.
These skills are underrated and come in very, very handy. Like I set up a studio in my house, and as an example, like we're on these mics, and these mics have particular pickup patterns and all that, but I use a shotgun mic in my videos. Shotgun mics have an issue where indoors, they pick up a lot of reflected noise, and the smaller the room, the worse the problem. So you need to hang up these acoustic blankets. And so I actually designed like these full-on hangers and CNC them the whole thing to like drop these acoustic blankets from the ceiling.
Hmm.
And so that when I want to record, I just kind of roll them down and then go. And then when I want to not record, I can roll them up. I have my office back, and it's really nice. And the only reason I could do that, I mean, you could never find those hangers like in the real world. Like you have to design them. So it's nice to have those kind of skills to fall back on.
I agree. That's for sure.
Yeah, I just don't have the time to use any of those skills, but
you got to work.
There's two varietals of life. Like, I mean, you know this, like as a woodworker, like there's the folks that like will sit there with a chisel and just go all day, like, you know, doing the Japanese joinery thing.
Oh, right.
And then there's other folks who be like me, like power tool it is, man. It's like, you know, I want to be in and out, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that was about all we had there. Are there any things we missed or anything you want to plug before we end?
I mean, other than the channel, honestly, like I still looking for a subscriber. although it's doing very, very well, and I'm really enjoying it. Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, like and just the channel.
All right. Blue collar dev, right?
Blue collar coder.
Blue collar coder. Right. See,
BCC.
That's why you have to say.
There you go. As opposed to BCD, I guess. Blue collar dev.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, everyone's confused now. But
Right.
He corrected me. We'll make sure it's in the notes.
First time somebody really questioned it was on Twitter. They were like, what the heck? Blue collar coder? What are you talking about?
And then you were like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the approach that I have to coding is like very practical. It's like I like building stuff for customers. And, you know, so that's the way I teach it.
That's awesome. Check it out, guys.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you liked it, please subscribe, leave us some ratings and reviews. We appreciate it, and we will catch you next time.
Boom, boom, boom.